The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker tov, moedim l'simcha. I see Louis very focused on the Liverpool game. Mm-hmm. I think actually most of Israel were watching that yesterday as well, even though things continue to be very, very tense here, but Israel does love its football. And of course, there was also a derby in Tel Aviv. The Haifa derby was played in Tel Aviv last night between Maccabi Haifa and Hapoel Haifa in the League Cup. I think it was the semi-final. Maccabi Haifa coming out on top on this particular occasion over Pesach. There's something about Pesach that links it with sport. It's usually also the finals of the basketball, the Euro basketball tournament around this time. We've seen in the past when Maccabi Tel Aviv has participated, how fans go off to the final and they prepare Pesach Seder wherever they happen to be. They all get together, they get the team members. It's all a big party. So Pesach somehow has a good link with sport usually. And so there's nothing different this time of year as well.
Mm-hmm. What is going on in terms of the tension? Very, very... it doesn't seem to be easing at all.
Not at all. In fact, on the contrary, I mean, we now see international leaders getting more involved. A little, you know, some worrying signs in terms of where it's going right now. First of all, the fact that the U.S. administration has become quite strongly involved. Antony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, yesterday doing a round of calls to Israeli officials, to Jordanian officials, to Egyptian officials. He called around the area, around the region, to try somehow to bring things a little bit more under control. There was an announcement yesterday that a senior State Department official will actually travel to the region during the course of this week in order to try to de-escalate this particular crisis. The acting Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs, Yael Lempert, and a Deputy Assistant Secretary will arrive apparently during the course of today for talks with senior officials in Jerusalem. They will also move to Ramallah, to Amman, and to Cairo in order to hold talks with various officials in those governments in order to try to de-escalate the situation. Also, the United Arab Emirates have now become involved as well, making first of all, calling in the Israeli ambassador to the UAE, giving him something of a dressing down in terms of criticizing Israel's actions on the Temple Mount. And also announcing, unfortunately, that whereas the United Arab Emirates Pilots Association had agreed to send planes to participate in the flyby that will be taking place in Israel over Yom HaTzma'ut, yesterday after these tensions, it was announced that they will be withdrawing their planes from the flyby, and those Emirati planes that were originally scheduled to come to Israel to fly over at a very, very low altitude will unfortunately not be part of participating this year. So some quite serious statements being made. Of course, the Jordanian government, as always, becoming involved, having statements to make about most things that happen on the Temple Mount. And Prime Minister Naftali Bennett announced yesterday that he will stop Jewish visitors from going up to the Temple Mount for the rest of the month of Ramadan in order to try somehow to take some action to reduce the tension as much as he possibly can. And I think that this is an interesting response because Israel has been accused of changing the status of what's going on in the Temple Mount, particularly that refers to the status of Muslim worshippers on the Temple Mount. So there's been this accusation that Israel has somehow restricted worshippers on the Temple Mount, Muslim worshippers on the Temple Mount during the month of Ramadan. If anything, that is entirely incorrect. And now we see Prime Minister Naftali Bennett not restricting Muslim worshippers, but indeed restricting Jewish worshippers who wish to ascend the Temple Mount during the Chag of Pesach, during the festival of Passover. And so, if anything, that is a very, very strong sign that the status quo for Muslim worshippers on the Temple Mount has really not been affected. Another international leader who's become involved in this is President Erdogan of Turkey. It's been announced that he will call President Herzog in order to discuss matters relating to unrest on the Temple Mount. So Again, you know, just to reiterate what I said yesterday, this has clearly been an orchestrated activity.
Oh, it's very orchestrated. Absolutely. And Anthony, I keep thinking, what are they expecting Israel to do? I'm really not certain, or I'm not clear what Israel is actually doing that could be construed as problematic. Jews aren't allowed to pray on the Temple Mount now, even when they were allowed to go there, there were very, very strict rules about what they were meant to do or allowed to do. What are they expecting? What are they claiming that Israel is actually doing?
Well, I think, Howard, that these statements of criticism towards Israel are not statements that expect Israel to respond in any particular way. I think the statement of criticism is simply a public statement to allow the Muslim community to see these leaders, to see these individuals getting involved and making their statement. How Israel responds to that? Well, we know that Israel cannot really respond to it because we're doing almost everything in our power in order to maintain the status quo. And in fact, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett runs the risk of standing on the toes of his own electorate by limiting the right of Jews to go to the Temple Mount at all. I mean, we discussed yesterday that even those who go to the Temple Mount have significant restrictions around them. They're only going to allowed to be in certain areas. They're not allowed to pray. They're not allowed to bring certain items with them for fear that it might incite to violence. And so there is, of course, a feeling within the Jewish electorate, within the Jewish community, that our rights are being restricted, and now even more than before by not allowing people onto the Temple Mount at all. And yet, of course, the criticisms will continue. Why? Because those people who are making the public statements need to be seen to be making the public statements. They don't necessarily need to be seen to have Israel respond to them, because as we've already decided, there's very, very little that Israel can do. But they just need to be out there in the public eye to be seen to be making a statement, to be on the right side of this particular issue. And that's where the difficulty really lies. Of course, Defense Minister Benny Gantz has also made a statement saying that if the rocket fire from Gaza persists, which fortunately up until now it has not, but he's really threatened that if that rocket fire persists, then Israel is going to roll back all the allowances that were made to permit people from Gaza to come to work in Israel. There are thousands and thousands of work permits that have been issued over the last few months, Gazans to work in Israel. And Benny Gantz has threatened that those will all be rolled back with one fell swoop if the rocket fire persists. Fortunately, up until now, things are holding on, and there hasn't been any further rocket fire, but one can't rule it out because the situation is such that it is so tense that any little event could literally ignite a massive fire here.
Absolutely bizarre, really, really crazy. And it's one of the times that I've seen it in the most clear way, but yet it doesn't seem to make much difference.
I think it's really one of those things where people who watch things from a distance don't really understand the extent to which this has been pre-planned, pre-coordinated, orchestrated in every possible sense of the word. This was always going to happen. And the question simply is, are they drawing Israel in to respond in such a way that might solicit criticism, particularly from Israel's allies? Because I think the most important response, in my estimation, is that from the United States. They are not required to make public statements about Muslim rights on the Temple Mount to the same degree as the Jordanian government, in the same way as the Emirati government, in the same way as other Arab governments around the region. But we run the risk
here.
We run the risk, unfortunately, of alienating them. And as I say, you know, when you're here, you can see it so clearly. When you're a little bit further away, it's not so obvious. It sounds almost, because of the way that the press presents it, it sounds almost like Israel might be the cause of this.
Absolutely right. Well, I mean, I guess that doesn't come as much of a surprise, unfortunately. The other story that I wanted to cover with you today is that a Ukrainian girl who was injured in the war will be airlifted to Israel for treatment. Tell us about this.
So this is a 9-year-old girl by the name of Darina. She apparently was, Let's start with the fact that she and her family were in their house somewhere near Kiev, we understand, when the house was hit by a Russian missile, and Darina was injured by shrapnel from that particular missile. She had been treated in a hospital in Kiev, but then it was decided that she should be moved to the Israeli field hospital, which is called Kochav Meir. This is the one that we discussed a few weeks ago, a hospital that's been set up near the city of Mostiska in the western part of Ukraine. So Darina and her mother were then moved from the hospital in Kiev to Kochav Meir to get Israeli treatment for her injuries at that particular field hospital. The doctors there have decided that Darina needs more specialized treatment than even that field hospital can offer her. And so it has been decided that the Israeli government will arrange for Darina and her mother to be airlifted to Israel with the relevant medical team at her side so that she can receive further treatment at the Safra Children's Hospital, which is at the Sheba Medical Center, Tel HaShomer, and that she will be admitted there to the pediatric unit, which will the orthopedic unit that will give her the sort of treatment that she needed, and that the Israeli government has made all of this possible. The Israeli medical team at Kochav Meir simply said that they see their responsibility in terms of medical treatment not ending at the limits of the field hospital, and not ending when the field hospital cannot provide the more specialized treatment. They see it necessary to bring people to Israel if that's what's required in order to give them this medical treatment. And so Darina and her mother will be lifted to Israel in the coming days to allow her to get the more specialized pediatric treatment, the orthopedic treatment that she needs.
Incredible, incredible story, born out of hardship, but yet an absolutely unbelievable one nevertheless. A protest took place at Chomesh yesterday. That's in an attempt to reestablish it as a residential area. Give us some background here.
Yeah, so Chomesh is a very, very controversial area. It was once inhabited, a so-called settlement. It's an area within the Sumerian hills, and it was once upon a time an area where people did live, until 2005, when the Israeli government decided that it was not appropriate for Jewish people to live in that area. The reason for that is that it is the land, the ownership of that land is controversial. It seems to have been established already back in the late 70s that approximately 170 acres of that land belonged to a nearby Palestinian village by the name of Burka, and apparently the ownership of that land was certified in the land registry. And so in 2005, the Israeli government decided to respect that and to evict people who lived in Chomesh, to move them away from there, to force them effectively to dismantle the settlement that had been created there. And since then, Chomesh has been illegal in terms of inhabitation, in terms of allowing residential area to be set up there. There is a yeshiva in the area, the Chomesh Yeshiva, which is quite a well-known yeshiva. And there has been some talk about the possibility of even moving that yeshiva from Chomesh to Eviatar. So since 2005, which, by the way, also coincides with the Gaza disengagement program, Chomesh has not been inhabited, at least not officially. There have been a number of attempts to try to set up official residential status in Chomesh, all of which have been against the law, against the rulings by the Israeli government and against the Supreme Court. But up until now, those people who feel that Chomesh should be a Jewish settlement have not been successful. Yesterday, they decided that they would like to have a march in order to protest against this ongoing situation that Chomesh remains still uninhabited by Jews. The march itself was quite well coordinated. The IDF protected people around there. One of the facts that I forgot to mention is that there have been actually quite a number of terror attacks that have taken place in that particular area of Chomesh, and a number of people who have been killed as a result of those attacks. So the area itself not only is controversial, but it is also quite unsafe as a result of the controversy that surrounds the area. So the IDF were called in order to protect the march. We understand that something like 1,000 people were present, that it was all quite organized, and there were no unruly events, nothing unexpected, although the people who come there are often known for some spontaneous action and for taking things into their own hands on this particular occasion. We understand that that was not the case. And so Chomesh remains uninhabited by Jewish people who would like to live there, and yet still is highly controversial. And it sort of links in a little way to a march that people want to have in Jerusalem, the so-called flag march, that was the leaders of the march applied to the police on Monday to allow this march to take place today. The police have said under the circumstances that there would be no possible way that they would give permission for this march to take place. The organizers of the march seem intent on pushing forward with it in any event against police orders. One can assume that the police will not allow this march to take place because they already have their hands full in Jerusalem today. The Birkat HaKohanim ceremony that took place on Monday has actually been spread out into two separate ceremonies in order to avoid overcrowding of the Kotel Plaza area and in order to try to spread things out a little bit. And so the second of the two ceremonies will take place today. And for people who are interested in seeing it, you have a second opportunity. It should be broadcast live on various channels and the so-called priestly blessing for the festival of Passover. So the police already have their hands full in Jerusalem today. The last thing that they would want to deal with is another illegal march taking place to potentially incite people. And I think really that that's what right-wingers are intent upon doing right now, particularly when they see that with this orchestrated violence that we see on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, they perceive that the Muslims are potentially getting the upper hand. And so Jews would like now to assert themselves in the city of Jerusalem just to ensure that there's some sort of clarity and parity about what's happening in the city of Jerusalem. I'm not sure that that's the best idea. I don't think that we need flag marches in order to show that we have control over the city of Jerusalem, that we have rights to worship, that we have rights to do what we need to do. Except for the fact, of course, that we need to be sensible, because ultimately the preservation of human life is above all else. And to the extent that some of these so-called assertions of our rights and of our rulership and our control over the area, to the extent that that might put people's lives into danger, it seems to me at least that that's not entirely sensible.
Anthony, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not sure why it's needed. It almost comes from a place of insecurity, thinking that it is. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.